welcome to the city that never sleeps, the Big Apple. And we're here to continue our British Hour tour of the United States of America. But before we can get started, we have to pass through immigration at Ellis Island. We've already been to North Dakota, but apparently that doesn't count, so we'll queue up in typical British fashion. And while we wait, we can look at some history. New York, or New Amsterdam as it was originally called by the Dutch settlers, until they got mullered by the English anyway, was given its name by those all-conquering English who named it in honour of the Duke of York. New York was actually the first capital of the United States, and in 1789 George Washington took his presidential oath on the balcony at Federal Hall. Just a few years later, in 1803, America's longest-running newspaper was established, the New York Post. Oh, the queue's moving now. Seems to be a bit of a ruckus going on up front. I think a couple of communists are being refused entry. Very un-American activity. To the queue, so it's our turn now. Hello there, I'd like to visit your fine country, please.
How long do you plan to stay?
Oh, I don't know, shouldn't take long. A week.
Okay. You're Mr. James from England.
Yep, that's me.
What part of England are you from?
Lancashire in the north.
Oh, really? Do you know a Mrs. Harris in Blackpool?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah, she came in last week. Small world, huh?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
Huh?
Nothing.
So, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Do you guys really drink tea in the afternoon?
Of course. Every day at 3 p.m, the whole country stops for tea.
That's great. You English are so quaint. Have you ever met the Queen?
Obviously. Every English person ever has met the Queen.
I thought so. That's great.
Thank you.
Enjoy your stay. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Muppet.
What's that?
Nothing. So we finally made it into New York then, and into the United States of America, officially, through immigration at Ellis Island, where millions of immigrants went before us, making it the US's busiest immigration station from 1892 to 1954, though most of the island's actually in New Jersey. More than 3,000 sick immigrants died on Ellis Island, and many were sent home without ever setting foot in America proper. Bloody immigrants. Having said that, though, over 100 million Americans, one-third of the population, can trace their ancestry back to the immigrants who passed through Ellis Island. Anyway, we're in now when we're on the ferry to Manhattan Island, and just passing by the Statue of Liberty, a gift from America's favourite country. First they gave you French fries, and then they gave you the Statue of Liberty. I figure you owe them. The statue was designed by Frederick Bartholdi, and it's a female figure that represents the Roman goddess of freedom, and she's holding a burning torch and a stone tablet that carries the date of the American Declaration of Independence. You know, when they had a hissy fit and threw the tea into the sea. Work on the statue began in the early 1870s, and some parts of it were displayed before it was finally assembled on its pedestal on what was then called Bedloe's Island, chosen because ships entering New York Harbour from the Atlantic had to sail past it. On October 28, 1886, President Grover Cleveland, the former New York governor, unveiled it, and a parade was held in New York City that began at Madison Square and ended at Battery Park on Manhattan's southern tip. On the way, they passed by the Stock Exchange, where traders threw ticker tape from the windows, which is where the New York tradition of ticker tape parades began. Bloody litter bugs, pick it up! America returned the favour when the US community in Paris donated a replica of the statue to the city. The replica was one-fifth the size of the original. One-fifth? Tightwads. I figure you still owe them. Well, we've crossed the Hudson River now and passed some of the other islands. I think one of them's England. Anyway, we're disembarking at Battery Park onto Manhattan Island, which is the part of New York that people immediately think of. And while we're downtown, as they say in these parts, we'll swing by Wall Street, which is in Lower Manhattan, and runs east from Broadway to South Street, right through the centre of the financial district. This is the home of the world's largest and most corrupt stock exchange, and the street's name derives from the time when there was a physical wall at the edge of the New Amsterdam territory in the 17th century. The wall ran from one shore of Manhattan Island to the other, and was built as protection against the English colonials. A much stronger wall was built by African slaves under the control of a man called Peter Stuyvesant, who later invented cigarettes. Or something. The street was originally called De Waal Street from the Dutch, and in the 18th century people would meet there and trade beneath a buttonwood tree. Eventually this was formalised in 1792 in the Buttonwood Agreement, and thus began the New York Stock Exchange. In 1889 the original stock report, the Customer's Afternoon Letter, became the Wall Street Journal.
With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to you that you don't know what you got till it's gone?
We've travelled uptown now to Central Park, which is a public park in the centre of Manhattan, where you can get raped for free. The park initially opened in 1857 and was designated a National Historic Landmark in 1963. It's the most visited urban park in the United States and receives approximately 25 million visitors every year. The park's maintained by the Central Park Conservancy, a private, non-profit organisation. Tightwads. Before the construction of the park could start, the area had to be cleared of its inhabitants, mostly poor immigrants. You know, the ones they didn't kill on Ellis Island. Anyway, around 1,600 working-class residents were evicted under eminent domain in 1857, and the communities burned to the ground. In practice, for a future of warmongering, there was more gunpowder used to clear the area than there was used at the Battle of Gettysburg during the American Civil War. The park was neglected for decades and became a haven for criminals, but the 1970s saw the start of a clean-up program that made it a centerpiece once again, and it's since been used for concerts by people like Bob Marley, Elton John, and of course, Simon and Garfunkel.
you got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Madison Square Garden, often abbreviated to MSG and known colloquially as The Garden, is a multi-purpose indoor arena between 31st and 33rd Streets and sat on top of Pennsylvania Avenue. The Garden is the longest active major sporting facility in the New York metropolitan area. It's the oldest arena in the NHL and the second oldest in the NBA, and is the third busiest in the world in terms of ticket sales, behind only the MEN Arena Manchester and the O2 Arena London. Clearly less people buy tickets in New York. Tight wads.
Good greeting, Tide sports fans. Butch Schlong here at WANK Cincinnati with the countdowns, factoids and figurology on last night's Major League games. Alongside me, my good sporting buddy, Snatch Frigate. What a real overflip for the Dodgers last semester, Snatch.
Hoot nanny on the muffin if I didn't doggone clean out the ballpark, Butch.
Emphatically. More on that later, but first, baseball. At last eventide at the Missouri Punch Bowl, the Minnesota Luddites struck 5/20 to rush the Kalamazoo Stag Beetles in a game veteran chunker Flick Stubb, a real seaside hit from the old griddle chef cowpoke. Amazing scenes as Luddites liquor Vag Nugget wiped 9 down in yardage, pushing the base tricons on a noodle. Luddites leapfrog Dakota douchebags in the Western Central. Snatch.
Heat seekers on, Butch, as we clock last sundown Tide's dodgeball. And who would have given Idaho Cocksnitch for the Chattanooga Druids taking 6 down over easy steam scuttle button the Rhode Island card pieces. But flip my Studebaker, that's what happened stanced emphatically. Period. Hoist fell silent like a quiet storm in the Dust Bowl as wide facilitator Chris Steinsky swung deep vibrator Prick Steeble, a Phillips screamer burning up the end zone. Empirical.
Butch, fumble in the jungle, Snatch.
Expediently.
Muffball next up. And the Mississippi Mudsliders clamp on the Calgary Castrati at the Super Bowl with a record-breaking 7-25 with rookie diagonal receiver Chutney Marengo putting him first up and easy last dusk tide. Castrati coach Dong Make Merriweather quoth presently, some sun ups the blueberries just skid of the faggots. Tough talk, explosively. Mudsliders nestle berth fourth down, frigating the Chicago Colonics in the North-Northeast Division. Snatch.
Up next, with the time approaching, the big boss man Eastwood Tide 8, Frig Ball. And wild cahoots like good old Huckleberry on the beansack at the Tallahassee Turd Bowl, as the Florida Felchers took time out on the third forward steal to irrigate the Tallahassee Ticklers clean through the off. All-time flush record holding inside stabber Shat Crouch took 4 deep in the end zone as the crowd did the San Francisco split crotch. Vintage stuff described by seasoned watcher Clint Morgenstern as like sniffing the gators on the Chuck Steak hydrant. Effluently.
Butch. Effusively. And hey, didn't old Shat look like the moose that just poked his gold pal? Wise up, Super Sucker, and make the meat pup dance.
Hey, you old dog.
Innovatingly, pretty forsooth, we must marry away. But join Snatch and my goodly self tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow afternoon as Bill for more American Sports Network, WANK Cincinnati.
Times Square is a major commercial area at the junction of Broadway and 7th Avenue. It's also referred to as the Theatre District. It was originally called Longacre Square, but was renamed in 1904 when the New York Times moved its headquarters to the new Times Building, now called One Times Square, which is famous among all teenage boys because it's where they go to see the balls drop. Just 3 weeks after the Times moved in, the first electrified advertisement appeared on the side of a bank at the corner of 46th Street and Broadway. This junction was also famous for being the eastern end of the Lincoln Highway, the first road across the United States, that ran for 3,389 miles from coast to coast, ending in Lincoln Park, San Francisco, California. On New Year's Eve, around 1 million people crowd into Times Square. And it's estimated that for the Millennium celebration, that number doubled to 2 million, making it the largest gathering in Times Square since 1945 at the end of World War II, because America won that, don't forget. In 1990, the state of New York took possession of 6 of the 9 historic theatres on 42nd Street, and a non-profit organisation was appointed to oversee the restoration and maintenance work. Tightwads. The triangular block formed by the junctions of 5th Avenue, 22nd Street, 23rd Street and Broadway is the location of my favourite building, the Flatiron Building, or Fuller Building as it was originally called. This groundbreaking skyscraper was completed in 1902 and was then one of the tallest buildings in the city and was the only skyscraper north of 14th Street. The neighbourhood around the building is called the Flatiron District, after this signature building, which was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1979 and designated a National Historic Landmark in 1989. What's your favourite building?